You are now listening to the Photography Enthusiast Podcast. Welcome to the Photography Enthusiast Podcast. So believe it or not, less than 2 weeks, or pretty much nearly exactly 2 weeks, and I'm releasing another episode. I mentioned I'm going to try and do this more regularly, so this is a positive step towards that. Now, this episode is going to be a review on the Sony 16-35mm f2.8 GM lens that I recently purchased. We have something called Boxing Day here in Australia, so that's when we usually get our sales. Nowhere near as good as the Black Friday sales in the US, but it's something for us anyway. Over here, the Sony 16-35 lens generally retails for around $3,100. Whereas that's AUD, obviously. Whereas I managed to pick it up for $2,500 on sale and on like a long interest-free free period as well, which always helps. Gives me time to sell my Canon 16-35. So I've been using it quite a bit since I got it. Haven't been able to use it as much as I want, purely because of all the bushfires here. So sky and the lighting's not that great. It's very hazy and sky's kind of flat every day. You don't get that nice colors you would usually get. But with the amount I've used, I'm really impressed with this lens. So I have written a review, which is on the Photography Enthusiast website, which will be linked in the show notes. This is just like an audio review where I can just discuss everything in a bit more detail. It's a bit more longer compared to the written review, just because written I try to keep it a bit shorter. Audio is a lot easier to listen as you go, so don't mind making it a bit longer. So here we are, we'll get into the review now. Okay, so I'm going to be following the same sort of format as my written review. So the first thing I'm going to talk about is why I wanted to get this lens and move away from the Canon. So if you don't know, I currently own the Canon EF 16-35mm f4 LIS. Now this lens, when I got it and I had my 60 and 60 Mark II, absolutely loved it. Corner to corner, performs amazing. Weight wise, it's pretty good, around 600 grams. Obviously, could be a bit lighter, but not complaining that much. Had no issues with image quality over there. Upon switching to mirrorless, I feel like the corners aren't as sharp, which is quite common when you're adapting wide angle lenses in the third party sense like this. And just, you know, in general, adding on the adapter makes it longer and a bit heavier. So it's never like an ideal situation. I always figured I would switch to fully native, even with the wide angle lens. Originally, I'd sort of had my eye more on the Sony FE 12-24, mainly because, you know, I'd like that wideness. It's pretty light as well, around 500 grams. So it would be great for traveling. But considering the price of that one and the fact that you can't use sort of your normal kind of filter holders on it, you need to get a special filter holder, attaches in a different way. It does make it a bit more troublesome buying all that from scratch and not being able to use the same holder on all lenses. That means I probably have to have two holders. So that was sort of a deterrent. And in all honesty, I was looking at getting a GM lens. I wasn't sure which one to get. The sort of options that I had that I was weighing up with was either the 16-35 to replace my current 16-35, which, you know, makes an obvious sense. The 24 f1.4, it's a lens I was considering getting for quite some time now. And also the 135 GM, because I like that tele photo length for, you know, portraits is good. Product shots that can work really well too. And especially for street, my style of street, I prefer the longer focal lengths. Now, when it comes, we'll look at why I didn't pick the other two. So regardless of which one I was going to get, the 16-35 was going to be sold to replace that, to fund that lens. So obviously the 24 and the 135 already didn't make as much sense, because then I like to shoot wide, especially for my cityscapes and when I travel. So not having that focal length would make, you know, that a lot more difficult. I have to do vertical panos to be able to make up for that. But the 24, it is fairly wide. It's decent for the, you know, decent weight, makes it good to carry. That one lens you can carry around, I kind of feel it would make my 35 FE 35 a bit redundant in that sense, because they too similar in focal length. to be able to keep both, in my opinion, as just a hobbyist. So that didn't make sense to me. And then with the 135, I don't own any lens longer than 90mm, which is my macro. So it'd be good to have something in a longer focal length. That one I was still deciding a bit as well, because it's pretty much known this year Tamron will be releasing their 75-180, I believe it is, for Sony FE. So pretty much I want to see what that lens is like first and decide, because I don't think I'd shoot that focal length for that lens as much as others. So if I'm going to pour a whole lot of money into that, you know, for that 135 GM, I want it to be a focal length I use. And if I do ever get that focal length, which I'm still honestly considering, you know, I might even consider start doing some paid work just to justify owning gear of that value. When it came down to the three lenses, then I looked into the 16-35 GM more and more. It seemed like the better option, because when you look at comparisons between the 16-35 Zeiss, which is an F4 for Sony FE, that one doesn't seem to perform as well on the long end, the 35mm end, compared to the Canon. And I wanted something that I wouldn't have to compromise the image quality. Pretty much the best and main option for me was this GM. If I went for something like the Tamron 17-28, I'd be losing a millimeter on the wide end, which probably I'd care more about than the losing the 7mm on the long end. There is a link to a review I watched by Jason Vong. It was more of a comparison between the 16-35 GM and this lens. To me, it looked like the Tamron wasn't as sharp as the Sony. And, you know, it wasn't by a huge amount. Tamron was still impressive, especially considering it's probably about half the price of the original retail value here. Because the sale I got on sale was only about $900 cheaper for the Tamron. That's assuming the Tamron's at full price and the Sony's discounted. If both are discounted, it's actually quite a bit more, I think. Because I've seen it go for the Tamron go for about $1,200. So yeah, about $1,300 difference. At the end of the day, like the GM, it's not that heavy. The Tamron is lighter, but it's a decent weight considering it is an F2.8 lens. And the quality, image quality looks amazing. You'll see from the photos I posted on there, wide open, stop down, everything, corner to corner, it's like a really, really impressive lens. I did do one test shot using what I recently purchased, the Nissi V6 filter holder. So this one's not meant to have any vignette at all at 16mm. I'm not sure if that's more just with their filters or it's like a general statement, like no matter which filters you use, whether it's Lee, Haida, Breakthrough, I think are popular, Nissi, you won't get a vignette. I have one test shot on there which is labeled. This one is at 16mm with my Haida 6-stop filter and no polarizer. To me, it did look like there was a slight, and I mean very slight, vignette. It didn't look nowhere near as bad as what I was getting when I used the Canon 16-35 plus the adapter plus my Haida holder. So it's definitely an improvement. And you'll see it's actually there as a slider. So you can see what it was like straight out of camera. And this isn't even straight out of camera JPEG. This is straight out of camera RAW without any corrections compared to what I can do when I edit it, correct it, and change everything. Now you may think that for someone who's just an amateur, the price of this lens is quite expensive. The trick to doing this is you just want to sell your old unused gear and not sort of hoard it and replace it for stuff you'll actually use, like this lens. So I'm selling the old 16-35, so that obviously funds quite a bit of it. And my M3 body, I don't really use it. I still have it. My girlfriend's been using it for travel. So I plan to sell that kit plus the adapter and just keep the M5 and, you know, let her use that when she travels, even though she'll probably wreck it like she usually does with her stuff. But there are certain ways you can get around these large purchases. Like with each body, I've generally sold the previous body prior to the new one releasing. That way it funds a new body and I don't have to pay the full outright price. So next up is the look and feel. So how this lens looks, feels, kind of like build quality, but not in that much detail. Like I'm definitely not going to do a drop test or anything like that. I wouldn't even drop it onto a pillow just in case it bounces up off the pillow and goes onto the floor and breaks, especially considering how much this costs. But pretty much when I had done most of my research online, I could see that the 16-35 GM, I'll just call it the Sony, and the Canon 16-35 F4, the Canon, were pretty much equal in size. I'd say there's a photo of there comparing both their sizes. They are pretty much equal, except the Sony is a tiny bit bigger, but in keep that in mind, it is F2.8, so it's got a much larger, not much one stop larger, but it does make a difference, especially if you do stuff like Astro. So that small size difference is well worth the advantage of that extra strop of light, and the weight is pretty much the exact same. Technically, the Canon would have actually been heavier because you have to add in the adapter as well. On my last holiday to San Francisco, I actually used the Canon more than I actually intended to. I was meant to be carrying the Tamron 28-75 everywhere with me. But with my style of shooting, I tend to go wide. I like the wide look. So I actually ended up just pretty much carrying the 16-35 the majority of the time and using that everywhere. Because of that, another reason why I didn't mind actually investing this money in the GM, because when I do travel, which haven't done as much as of recently, but as of next year, once I'm done with uni, I hope to travel a lot more, so it will sort of pay for itself in that sense. When it comes to the build of this lens, I'm really impressed with it. It feels solid. I like how it has the customizable button. The rings feel nice. It does feel funny how the zoom ring is opposite to what Canon does, so I keep sort of going to zoom what would be zooming out, but I'm actually already at the long end, so I'm like, why is it not zooming? Getting confused with that, which is just, you know, I'll get used to it in time. The 82mm filter thread, that one was a bit of a surprise to me. I didn't expect that bigger filter size. I didn't have any adapters. The fact that I bought the Nissi system now, that does help. Pretty much with this Nissi system, it comes standard 82 and you have stock down rings if you have a lens with a smaller filter thread. So, you know, that's no issue. I do want to test it out more. I've been eager to test it out. So I'm hoping we get some nice light clouds or some clear skies. So that way I can actually go out and test that polarizer as well as that. When it comes to, you know, build quality, there's not much more to it. It's a nice lens, built well, feels good in the hand, not too heavy. And yeah, I'm pretty much happy with everything when it comes to the build quality. Now, this is a pretty short and sweet area, but does it meet my expectations? I would say it's a definite yes. You know, like you'll see online so many people, like fanboys for certain brands, will just go on about how that brand's gear is the best, it's perfect, nothing wrong with it. But, you know, it's not actually the truth. You get that from all brands as well. Nikon, Sony, Panasonic, Fuji, Canon, doesn't matter. It's fanboys for every brand. I was a bit hesitant, worrying that this lens wouldn't be that great. But after trying it, like image quality, as I mentioned, corner to corner is amazing, whether wide open or stop down. It's actually that impressive that I've considered not actually even taking my 35-18 with me when I travel. And I'm even wondering whether it's worth keeping it purely for that reason, because it's just a little bit over a stop, 1 1/3 of a stop difference between that and the 35-18. Obviously, huge size and weight difference, so that does make, you know, a bit of a deciding factor in that. But I have a test shot up there with this lens at 35mm, and it does well. Distortion's well controlled. I haven't tried it for any kind of portraits at 35mm, so that would be a different thing. But this lens, like, really impresses AF, image quality, like, sharpness, everything. So it's really, really an all-around lens. So that, you know, when you buy it, you're not going to regret actually spending that money on, because it does have that quality that reflects it. To anyone that's on the fence about buying this lens, I would personally say it's definitely worth it. I, you know, in all honesty, don't use my wide angles, my ultra wide angles, as much as I used to back in the day. I'm trying to change that this year. I really want to shoot with it more. These shots that I've taken and test shots that I've put in here are the type of stuff I used to love to shoot. Got to a point where I've really focused on long exposures only and cityscapes only, which, you know, I don't want to do this year. It was one of my goals to try and do something different. I don't try and do the same things every year. Whether that means I can't master that style is one thing, but, you know, I'm not looking to be a professional photographer or anything. I just do it for fun and I just like to keep things interesting. So This lens will hopefully push me to get out and shoot more and help achieve that goal as well. And considering how good the quality of this lens is, I'll happily keep using it and happily keep recommending it. Things that I don't like. Now, this is always a topic I find hard to cover, mainly because I don't particularly think I'm a picky person. Maybe for some things like food, yeah. But when it comes to my lenses, I'm not. I don't really see any issues with this lens. Like, obviously the price could be cheaper, but when you compare it to other lenses of the same focal length from other manufacturers, it's pretty standard. Weight-wise, obviously, you know, who wouldn't want a smaller, lighter lens? Lens technology isn't really there yet. According to Sigma, they should be able to make the lenses smaller, but, you know, for a 16-35 f2.8, this is a pretty decent size considering it's almost the same size as a Canon f4 for a DSLR. The 82mm filter thread, originally it was a bit of a sort of a displeasing thing, but considering I've got the Nissi V6 holder now, it doesn't really set me back at all or really bother me, so that's pretty much no issue. There's not really anything I can say that's, oh, this is a huge thing about this lens that would make me not want to buy it again, or this is a horrible thing, Sony need to release a, you know, Mark II version to fix that, kind of like their 35 f1.4, the Zeiss one. I'd say all around it's a really good lens. Although it is pricey, the quality does reflect it, you know. It is really built well, beautiful image quality, and there's not really much to complain about it. So this concludes my sort of audio-based review of the 16-35 GM. If you head on over to my website, The Photography Enthusiast, you'll be able to see images and the written version. If you do have any questions in regards to the quality of this lens, reach out to me in the comments. You can ask me there. You can email me. You can contact me on Twitter. It's Flickr, anything, it's up to you. What I will do as well, I've found that sometimes uploading to WordPress, the color profiles do change the look of the images a bit. All these images are taken by me, so I do have a Photography Enthusiast Flickr group. What I'll do is I'll create a gallery or upload an album of all my images taken with this lens. And from there, you'll be able to sort of see them on Flickr. So even, you know, if the color profiles are playing an issue, it shouldn't affect it on Flickr. It should always be, you know, displayed properly, which I notice it usually does. So yeah, that'll be that. Next podcast, I already know what I'm going to be recording for. I haven't recorded yet. Hope to do that this weekend. So you should hear from me again in 2 weeks' time with that next episode. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Photography Enthusiast Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to subscribe, and our social links will be posted in the show notes.